what are your very early memories of home life?
My, you know, my memories of home life are just of stability, security. My mum and dad were my world when I was wee. You know, if I look back now and think about what my mum and dad instilled in me, it's nothing short of remarkable in some ways, because, as you say, they were really young when I was born. I guess their own life experiences at that time must have been fairly limited. Nobody in either of their families had ever gone to university. They probably hadn't come across that many people that had gone to university, and yet they managed to raise this wee girl who, from as far back as I can remember, had a belief that aspiring to go to university was something that I should take for granted.
Was that explicit? Did your mum sort of sit on your knee and say, Nicola, you're a smart wee girl?
I guess that's what I kind of marvel about when I look back on it, because it was an unspoken look. You know, you can do what you want. Don't let people tell you that because of your gender or your background or your family that you're not able to go on and achieve what it is your heart wants you to achieve. And I never doubted that.
It was a peculiarly political time that you found yourself growing up in. You know, the 1980s was a time of course, Thatcher's government. People in Scotland were finding that Westminster in no way reflected the votes that they were putting in the ballot box. And it was the time of the poll tax being introduced first to Scotland. It was the time of the miners' strike. There was Ravenscraig Steelworks being wound down and eventually closed. Did you find yourself, as a youngster in those early teenage years, connecting with politics as a reality that was impactful upon people's lives?
Absolutely. I mean, for me, my political awakening, if I can be as grand as to call it that, was all about what was happening around me. It wasn't some romantic, patriotic, you know, vision of Scotland going back to what it had been 300 years previously. It was very much about a sense of hopelessness in the community I was growing up in.
Did you see that firsthand?
Yeah, I did. I was surrounded. You know, I guess if you ask me the kind of feelings I remember from that time, I remember a feeling that I had and all my friends had. If your dad back then was made redundant or lost his job, then there was a sense that that would be terminal, that he might never work again. People I went to school with, and, you know, the school I went to, it wasn't commonplace to go on to further education or higher education. If you weren't doing that, there was a sense that you might, you know, end up without a job, without any real hope for the future. And that all created this sense of hopelessness, as it seemed to me back then, being inflicted by a government that most people in Scotland hadn't voted for and would never have voted for.
Segment 1.
What are your very early memories of home life?
My, you know, my memories of home life are just of stability, security. My mum and dad were my world when I was wee. You know, if I look back now and think about what my mum and dad instilled in me, it's nothing short of remarkable in some ways, because, as you say, they were really young when I was born. I guess their own life experiences at that time must have been fairly limited. Nobody in either of their families had ever gone to university. They probably hadn't come across that many people that had gone to university, and yet they managed to raise this wee girl who, from as far back as I can remember, had a belief that aspiring to go to university was something that I should take for granted.
Segment 2.
Was that explicit? Did your mum sort of sit on your knee and say, Nicola, you're a smart wee girl?
I guess that's what I kind of marvel about when I look back on it, because it was an unspoken look. You know, you can do what you want. Don't let people tell you that because of your gender or your background or your family that you're not able to go on and achieve what it is your heart wants you to achieve. And I never doubted that.
It was a peculiarly political time that you found yourself growing up in. You know, the 1980s was a time of course, Thatcher's government. People in Scotland were finding that Westminster in no way reflected the votes that they were putting in the ballot box.
Segment 3.
And it was the time of the poll tax being introduced first to Scotland. It was the time of the miners' strike. There was Ravenscraig Steelworks being wound down and eventually closed. Did you find yourself, as a youngster in those early teenage years, connecting with politics as a reality that was impactful upon people's lives?
Absolutely. I mean, for me, my political awakening, if I can be as grand as to call it that, was all about what was happening around me. It wasn't some romantic, patriotic, you know, vision of Scotland going back to what it had been 300 years previously. It was very much about a sense of hopelessness in the community I was growing up in.
Segment 4.
Did you see that firsthand?
Yeah, I did. I was surrounded. You know, I guess if you ask me the kind of feelings I remember from that time, I remember a feeling that I had and all my friends had. If your dad back then was made redundant or lost his job, then there was a sense that that would be terminal, that he might never work again. People I went to school with, and, you know, the school I went to, it wasn't commonplace to go on to further education or higher education. If you weren't doing that, there was a sense that you might, you know, end up without a job, without any real hope for the future. And that all created this sense of hopelessness, as it seemed to me back then, being inflicted by a government that most people in Scotland hadn't voted for and would never have voted for.